WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to WVUA. Hello, everybody. You are listening to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Jake Riker and Lincoln Burkholder. Today, we're going to be covering Sunday's top performers, biggest busts, and surprises of the week. We'll also be going over our Monday Night Football fantasy predictions, as well as our top waiver wire pickups. Don't miss out on our must start, must sit, or panic or pause segments either. With all of that being said, let's get into it with Jake Riker.
Well, you know who my biggest performer's got to be this week. It's the best, well, I'm sorry to all Alabama fans and Carolina Panther fans, but it's the best quarterback in the draft so far this year, the rookie quarterback, the Ohio State product, C.J. Stroud.
He's insane.
I mean,
he's actually just God on a football field.
C.J. Stroud has just broken the Ohio State, the miserable Ohio State quarterback run they've had in the NFL.
Yep.
Hey, Justin Fields is elite, man.
Yeah. But Stroud just had a career day, considering his career has been pretty short so far. 41.8 fantasy points, racked up 470 yards. That's like one to two completions away from 500 yards. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to think about. Five touchdowns, and the fifth touchdown of that game was a game-winning touchdown drive that led them to a victory over
in 40 seconds.
Yeah, over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I saw something today that C.J. Stroud already has more career touchdowns than Kenny Pickett.
Yes, he does.
Stroud had a great week this week in fantasy. Played against him, had him on a couple of my teams. Well, I mean, what a week from number seven.
Hey, man, not much more you can ask for. My top performer of the week, though, he was a top performer last week, and he's staying in the segment this week. It's CeeDee Lamb in Dallas. He is officially here. 16 targets this week for Lamb. He caught 11 of those for 191 yards. He scored 28.1 fantasy points without ever getting into the end zone. That's something you don't see often, but CeeDee Lamb did it on Sunday, and it's a guy who I mentioned it last week when I talked about him as the top performer. Earlier in the year, he'd been good, but he hadn't been the CeeDee Lamb that you expect to see week to week, and he is that guy now. 41, then 28.1. CeeDee Lamb is a wide receiver one, and it's finally happening.
I played against Lamb in my biggest fantasy league this year, and I saw that last play happen where he catches at the 2-yard line mm-hmm. and goes down, and they replayed it, and I was like, oh my gosh. CeeDee Lamb fumbled that football.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people saw that. A lot of people ignored it. It didn't matter, whatever. Eagles recovered it. But that's minus two fantasy points with a fumble. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here in a tight matchup, 51% of chance of me winning tonight. And I was looking at it, and I was like, I was just waiting. I was like, they better take those 2 points off CeeDee Lamb. And they did.
They took them off.
That was very – I mean, the ball came out. Eagles recovered it. They got the fumble recovery, but – I mean, CeeDee Lamb's had a great, like, fantastic week.
He's incredible. All right, moving on to my top performer. I'm switching it up a little bit. I'm going with a defense. We don't really do that often, but I'm going to go for it. I have the Cleveland Browns defense against the Arizona Cardinals this week. They went up against rookie quarterback Clayton Tune, who, I mean, I kind of just said it, who? But nonetheless, they only allowed 58 yards of offense, 7 sacks, 2 interceptions, 1 forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. Racking up 23 fantasy points. The Browns won 27-0. Clayton Tune and the Cardinals could not get anything going. Kyler Murray is back for week 10.
I was going to say, with Clayton Tune playing like that, the news has dropped. Kyler Murray is coming back. Yeah, Arizona has seen enough of Clayton Tune.
Yeah, Kyler Murray's coming back. They saw enough of Clayton Tune. He's done for, but he shut down absolutely by the Browns, who are one of the top defenses, if not the best defense in the NFL. I know Baltimore's up there.
The Jets and Baltimore.
They're great at two different things.
No, they're great. They're great at getting to the quarterback, and they're great at man coverage.
Yep, exactly. So I'm going to go with the Browns defense. 23 fantasy points when they were projected only 7. Big week for Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett, and the Browns.
All right, let's move on to the biggest surprise of this week's fantasy week. And, you know, I have to go with the Baltimore Raven. Yep. I have to mention a Raven at some point in here. I mean, we're sitting at 7-2, considerably the best team in the league, but not to ramble. But my big surprise this week was Keaton Mitchell, rookie, undrafted running back out of Eastern Carolina University. He had 1,800 scrimmage yards his senior year at ECU. and nobody really talked about him, man. He had no rushing carries in the NFL before yesterday's game, when he came in the fourth quarter because Baltimore was blowing out the Seahawks. Racked up 20.4 fantasy points. He had 9 carries for 138 yards and a touchdown. He also recorded the fastest rush for the Baltimore Ravens of the season yesterday. Going forward, I don't see him as with much fantasy value because Gus Edwards is still there. I think Lincoln said earlier, like 7 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah,
something like that.
So I don't see Mitchell taking a lot of carries. He was in because we were up, but the Ravens were up by so big. But that's my biggest surprise of the week.
My biggest surprise, I was originally going to mention K. Dotton here, but we didn't have a spot for him in the top performers. It's Tank Dell. So I'm going to throw him in the biggest surprises, as he did have under 10 fantasy points the last 3 times he went out. 6.1 last week. He had the bye week before that. He missed the game against New Orleans in week 6, 8.3, and then 3.9 in weeks 5 and 4. But 29.6 points this week on 11 targets. He caught 6 of them for 114 yards and 2 touchdowns. He rode C.J. Stroud's amazing game to an amazing game himself. And if C.J. Stroud continues to play like this, Tank Dell is a viable fantasy option. If they have slumps like they did before, you might see a little bit of a downturn in production. But if it keeps up like this, Tank Dell is an electric playmaker, and I would expect him to continue play of this caliber if C.J. Stroud can keep this up against, especially like if they play like some bad defenses on the stretch, which they do. They play Arizona and they play Denver at one point. They also get Tennessee twice and Indianapolis again. So
good things looking for the Texans. I'm going to go with a teammate of Tank Dell, and I was kind of wishing that this would be Nico Collins because I had him in like 2 leagues. He had a touchdown, 13 points, but that's not who I'm going with. I'm going with the tight end, Dalton Schultz. He had himself a day, 11 targets, 10 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown for Schultz. The former Dallas Cowboys, now playing in Houston. He's been balling out. He had 2 points last week, not good. Then he had the bye before, a couple solid games against Atlanta and New Orleans, but Schultz is here. He's the 14th ranked tight end in fantasy, and he's looking to go up from there. He did also have a fumble that was lost, so without that, that's 29 points. So Schultz had himself a big day. You love to see it for the Houston Texans. They're putting it all together with Stroud and the rest of the offensive weapons. It looks really good out there in Houston. Future's bright. So now let's move on to our biggest busts of the week. Jake, what you got?
Well, I guess I have to continue the Baltimore Ravens praise, although I can't do too much because, yet again, every time we do it, we find ourselves losing next week, and I really don't want to lose to Cleveland Browns, especially if Watson's playing. I don't like that guy. Anyway, my biggest bust of the week is Kenneth Walker for the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
2.7 fantasy points. I mean, Kenneth Walker was putting up numbers previously to this week. He walks into Baltimore. I expected him to have a decent – I mean, the Ravens' defense overall and their run defense has been good but not, like, stellar. Maybe they are stellar now after this week. But he had 16 rushing yards.
Yep.
In 4 quarters of football.
I mean, in his defense, they lost 37-3.
Well, he also got out-snapped by Zach Charbonnet.
Yeah, I completely understand. I mean, if you're down by big – You're not gonna run the ball much. You have to be able to spread the field, unload it with Geno Smith, and try to get something going. You're not gonna run the ball much, but like, he's not a bad receiving back. Like,
no. he doesn't get targets though, no. Regularly. I mean, that's the floor of a guy that doesn't get targets in fantasy football.
He could get those receiving yards. I mean, they literally did nothing. He had 2.7 fantasy points. That's it.
That's why Charbonnet out-snapped him.
Yeah. Yep.
He catches passes for Seattle.
I couldn't
weird.
Believe it.
But yeah, my biggest bust of the week, I think he was mine last week, and I never thought I'd get to say his name in this segment again, but it's Travis Kelce.
Womp womp.
3 catches for 14 yards. That's it. That's the whole. That's
14 yards
that's
is
all.
Like really, really
that's just
bad.
Sad.
Yeah.
But that's all. He had 4 targets on the day in that 8:30. It was 8:30 here, 8:30 a.m. game against the Dolphins. 4.4 fantasy points in a game that, I mean, the Chiefs granted were up 21-0, I think, at halftime in this game. So they did turn to the run a little bit, but I mean, I could have put Isaiah Pacheco in this segment too. He didn't do anything.
Nope.
So, Travis Kelce winning or losing, you would expect to be amazing, but he was the complete opposite of that on Sunday morning against the Dolphins. And he gets a bye this coming week, and then hopefully he can pick it up in the coming weeks for those who drafted him in their first round. Yeah, rough week for Travis Kelce owners.
No Taylor Swift at the game, and that means Kelce does bad. Moving on to my biggest bust of the week, and as a 49er fan, I love to say this. It's DK Metcalf. Did not have a good week against the Baltimore Ravens, who have been shutting offenses down. Thought this would be a shootout? No. 37-3, Ravens win, and not DK Metcalf did nothing. Four targets, one catch for 50 yards. All he had was the one catch for 50. If that doesn't happen, it's a big old zero. 6 points.
Goose egg on Marlon Humphrey.
Yeah, goose egg. So 0 points for DK Metcalf if that doesn't happen. Six is what he did score on four targets. So he got no volume. Tyler Lockett was getting a bulk of the volume and the targets. Metcalf, who was believed to be the wide receiver one in this offense for the last 2 years, has not been living up to expectations, especially this year. He had 1,000 yards last year, and it's not looking like it'll be that way this year. Maybe he'll pick it up, maybe not, because Geno Smith is not looking his way. He got shut down this week. And that is all we have for those first three segments. We will be right back after a short intermission for our Monday Night Football Fantasy Predictions. We'll see you soon. 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa, Student Section Fantasy Sports. My name is Jamie Martinez, and I'm joined by Jake Riker and Lincoln Burkholder. Today, we're going to be covering Sunday's top performers, biggest busts, and surprises of the week. We'll also be going over our Monday Night Football Fantasy Predictions, as well as our top waiver wire pickups. Don't miss out on our must-start, must-sit, or panic, or pause segments either. With all of that being said, let's get into it with Jake Reichert.
Well, you know who my biggest performer's got to be this week. It's the best, well, I'm sorry to all Alabama fans and Carolina Panther fans, but it's the best quarterback in the draft so far this year, the rookie quarterback, the Ohio State product, C.J. Stroud.
He's insane.
I mean,
he's actually just God on a football field.
C.J. Stroud is just broken the Ohio State, the miserable Ohio State quarterback run they've had in the NFL.
Yep.
Hey, Justin Fields is elite, man.
Yeah. But Stroud just had a career day, considering his career has been pretty short so far. 41.8 fantasy points, racked up 470 yards. That's like one to two completions away from 500 yards. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to think about. Five touchdowns, and the fifth touchdown of that game was a game-winning touchdown drive that led them to a victory over
in 40 seconds.
Yeah, over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I saw something today that C.J. Stroud already has more career touchdowns than Kenny Pickett.
Yes, he does.
Stroud had a great week this week in fantasy. Played against him, had him on a couple of my teams. Well, I mean, what a week from number seven.
Hey, man, not much more you can ask for. My top performer of the week, though, he was a top performer last week, and he's staying in the segment this week. It's CeeDee Lamb in Dallas. He is officially here. 16 targets this week for Lamb. He caught 11 of those for 191 yards. He scored 28.1 fantasy points without ever getting into the end zone. That's something you don't see often, but CeeDee Lamb did it on Sunday, and it's a guy who, I mentioned it last week when I talked about him as the top performer. He, earlier in the year, he'd been good, but he hadn't been the CeeDee Lamb that you expect to see week to week, and he is that guy now. 41, then 28.1. CeeDee Lamb is a wide receiver one, and it's finally happening.
I played against Lamb in my biggest fantasy league this year, and I saw that last play happen where he catches at the 2 yard line mm-hmm. and goes down, and they replayed it, and I was like, oh my gosh. CeeDee Lamb fumbled that football.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people like saw that. A lot of people ignored it. It didn't matter, whatever. Eagles recovered it. But that's minus two fantasy points with a fumble. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here in a tight matchup, 51% of chance of me winning tonight. And I was looking at it. I was just waiting. I was like, they better take those 2 points off CeeDee Lamb. And they did.
They took them off.
That was the ball came out. Eagles recovered it. They got the fumble recovery, but I mean, CeeDee Lamb's had a great, fantastic week.
He's incredible. All right, moving on to my top performer. I'm switching it up a little bit. I'm going with a defense. We don't really do that often, but I'm going to go for it. I have the Cleveland Browns defense against the Arizona Cardinals this week. They went up against rookie quarterback Clayton Toon, who, I mean, I kind of just said it, who? But nonetheless, they only allowed 58 yards of offense, seven sacks, two interceptions, one forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. racking up 23 fantasy points. The Browns won 27-0. Clayton Tune and the Cardinals could not get anything going. Kyler Murray is back for week 10.
I was
going
to say, with Clayton Tune playing like that, the news has dropped. Kyler Murray is coming back.
Yeah,
Arizona has seen enough of Clayton Tune.
Yeah, Kyler Murray's coming back. They saw enough of Clayton Tune. He's done for, but they shut down absolutely by the Browns, who are one of the top defenses, if not the best defense in the NFL. I know Baltimore's up there.
Whoa, the Jets.
They're great at two different things.
No, they're great. They're great at getting to the quarterback, and they're great at man coverage.
Yep, exactly. So I'm going to go with the Browns defense. 23 fantasy points when they were projected only 7. Big week for Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett, and the Browns.
All right, let's move on to the biggest surprise of this week's fantasy weekend. You know, I have to go with the Baltimore Raven. Yeah. I have to mention a Raven at some point in here. I mean, we're sitting at 7-2, considerably the best team in the league, but not to ramble. But my big surprise this week was Keaton Mitchell, rookie undrafted running back out of Eastern Carolina University. He had 1,800 scrimmage yards his senior year at ECU, and nobody really talked about him, man. He had no rushing carries in the NFL before yesterday's game, when he came in the fourth quarter because Baltimore was blowing out the Seahawks. Racked up 20.4 fantasy points. He had 9 carries for 138 yards and a touchdown. He also recorded the fastest rush for the Baltimore Ravens of the season yesterday. Going forward, I don't see him as with much fantasy value because Gus Edwards is still there. I think Lincoln said earlier, like 7 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah,
something like that. So I don't see Mitchell taking a lot of carries. He was in because we were up, but the Ravens were up by so big. But that's my biggest surprise of the week.
My biggest surprise, I was originally going to mention Kate Otten here, but we didn't have a spot for him in the top performers. It's Tank Dell. So I'm going to throw him in the biggest surprises, as he did have under 10 fantasy points the last 3 times he went out. 6.1 last week. He had the bye week before that. He missed the game against New Orleans in week 6, 8.3, and then 3.9 in weeks 5 and 4. But 29.6 points this week on 11 targets. He caught 6 of them for 114 yards and 2 touchdowns. He rode C.J. Stroud's amazing game to an amazing game himself. And if C.J. Stroud continues to play like this, Tank Dell is a viable fantasy option. If they have slumps like they did before, you might see a little bit of a downturn in production. But if it keeps up like this, Tank Dell is an electric playmaker, and I would expect him to continue play of this caliber if C.J. Stroud can keep this up against, especially like if they play like some bad defenses on the stretch, which they do. They play Arizona and they play Denver at one point. They also get Tennessee twice and Indianapolis again. So
good things looking for the Texans. I'm going to go with a teammate of Tank Dell, and I was kind of wishing that this would be Nico Collins because I had him in like 2 leagues. He had a touchdown, 13 points, but that's not who I'm going with. I'm going with the tight end, Dalton Schultz. He had himself a day, 11 targets, 10 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown for Schultz, the former Dallas Cowboys now playing in Houston. He's been balling out. He had 2 points last week, not good. Then he had the bye before, a couple solid games against Atlanta and New Orleans, but Schultz is here. He's the 14th ranked tight end in fantasy, and he's looking to go up from there. He did also have a fumble that was lost. So without that, that's 29 points. So Schultz had himself a big day. You love to see it for the Houston Texans. They're putting it all together with Stroud and the rest of the offensive weapons. It looks really good out there in Houston. Future's bright. So now let's move on to our biggest busts of the week. Jake, what you got?
Well, I guess I have to continue the Baltimore Ravens praise, although I can't do it too much because, yet again, every time we do it, we find ourselves losing next week, and I really don't want to lose to Cleveland Browns, especially if Watson's playing. I don't like that guy. Anyway, my biggest bust of the week is Kenneth Walker for the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
2.7 fantasy points. I mean, Kenneth Walker was putting up numbers previously to this week. He walks into Baltimore. I expected him to have a decent – I mean, the Ravens' defense overall and their run defense has been good but not, like, stellar. Maybe they are stellar now after this week. But he had 16 rushing yards.
Yep.
In 4 quarters of football.
I mean, in his defense, they lost 37-3.
Well, he also got out-snapped by Zach Charbonnet.
Yeah, I completely understand. I mean, if you're down by big – You're not going to run the ball much. You have to be able to spread the field, unload it with Geno Smith, and try to get something going. You're not going to run the ball much, but like he's not a bad receiving back. Like
He doesn't get targets, though, regularly. And that's the floor of a guy that doesn't get targets in fantasy football.
He could get those receiving yards. I mean, they literally did nothing. He had 2.7 fantasy points. That's it.
That's why Charbonnet out-snapped him. Yeah. He catches passes for Seattle.
I couldn't
believe it.
But yeah, my biggest bust of the week, I think he was mine last week, and I never thought I'd get to say his name in this segment again, but it's Travis Kelce.
Womp womp.
3 catches for 14 yards. That's it. That's the whole. That's
14 yards
that's
is like
all.
Really, really
that's just
bad.
Sad.
Yeah.
But that's all. He had 4 targets on the day in that 8:30. It was 8:30 here, 8:30 a.m. game against the Dolphins. 4.4 fantasy points in a game that, I mean, the Chiefs, granted, were up 21-0, I think, at halftime in this game. So they did turn to the run a little bit. But, I mean, I could have put Isaiah Pacheco in this segment, too. He didn't do anything.
Nope.
So Travis Kelce, winning or losing, you would expect to be amazing. But he was the complete opposite of that on Sunday morning against the Dolphins. And he gets a bye this coming week. And then hopefully he can pick it up in the coming weeks for those who drafted him in their first round. Yeah, rough week for Travis Kelce owners.
No Taylor Swift at the game, and that means Kelce does bad. moving on to my biggest bust of the week, and as a 49er fan, I love to say this. It's DK Metcalf. Did not have a good week against the Baltimore Ravens, who have been shutting offenses down. Thought this would be a shootout? No. 37-3, Ravens win, and not DK Metcalf did nothing. 4 targets, 1 catch for 50 yards. All he had was the 1 catch for 50. If that doesn't happen, it's a big old 0. 6 points.
Goose egg on Marlon Humphrey.
Yeah, goose egg. So 0 points for DK Metcalf if that doesn't happen. 6 is what he did score on 4 targets. So he got no volume. Tyler Lockett was getting a bulk of the volume and the targets. Metcalf, who was believed to be the wide receiver one in this offense for the last 2 years, has not been living up to expectations, especially this year. He had 1,000 yards last year, and it's not looking like it'll be that way this year. Maybe he'll pick it up, maybe not, because Geno Smith is not looking his way. He got shut down this week. And that is all we have for those first 3 segments. We will be right back after a short intermission for our Monday Night Football Fantasy Predictions. We'll see you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're going to jump right into our Monday Night Football Fantasy Predictions for the Los Angeles Chargers and the New York Jets. Zach, what do you got?
What I got for us today, I think coming into this game, both teams are fairly even. I mean, the Chargers have the better offense, but the Jets have the slightly better defense. Also, like thinking about how the Chargers have a great defensive line, but overall, I think the Jets have it on defense. So coming into this game, I think it's going to be fairly close, and it's also going to be fairly low scoring. So that's why I got the score being 24-21, with the Jets getting the dub.
Wow!
And also, my top performer being Garrett Wilson, because of the last 2 games, he's had 90 yards receiving. He hasn't had a touchdown yet in those 2 games, but I think he's going to change that tonight, and I think he's going to get in the end zone.
Well, I need about 70 points from him to win in the WVUA league, so yeah, maybe he can pull it off.
Zach Wilson's got that in him.
Right, no, Jake. I actually have a 3-point deficit or margin in the game tonight as well, just like Zach. Instead of 24-21, I got the Jets. I got the New York Jets. Jets winning tonight, 23-20. And my biggest performer is Zach Wilson. I'm kidding. It's not
no
Zach
way.
Wilson. No, it's not Zach
That's
Wilson.
That's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I think he does put on a good game tonight. I think he gets it done. He manages the game well. But my biggest performer is the true RB1 for the Jets, and that's Breece Hall.
Yeah.
And more Dalvin Cook. Hall has looked amazing in that backfield. And the reason I have the Jets winning the game, to dive into a little bit more details, because I think they get a stop and a turnover late in the game against the Chargers, and I don't think the Chargers defense will do enough.
All right. I mean, I'm going to stick with the Jets trend here.
No, we can't always take the
wow.
Jets.
We got New York Jets football tonight. I think it's going to be a classic 2023 New York Jets slugfest, 17-13.
Wow,
over the Chargers. What a terrible football game.
I mean, it's in New York too. Like, you can't.
I bet it's freezing cold.
Oh my god.
That's how all Chargers primetime
games.
You can't.
This is
gonna
be more New York Jets football.
This is like Big Ten football right here. That's essentially what we're watching. But yeah, my top performer of the game. I'm rolling with Jake here, the Iowa State product, two-time All-American, Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, Breece Hall.
Need it.
Roll Cyclones, baby.
Granted, he has averaged 1.4 yards per carry last week. I'm ignoring that number. That didn't happen.
Wow, that's
but
brutal.
It doesn't matter because he caught six passes for 76 yards and a touchdown. So he still scored. He scored over 20 points each of the last 3 weeks that he's played, and they had a bye week in there. And the Chargers' run defense is putrid. So Breece Hall once again today. I think he rolls the Jets to 5-3 under Zach Wilson.
Did you just say 5-3?
Yeah,
Zach Wilson's leading an NFL team to 5-3 tonight.
While they await the return of glorious King Aaron Rodgers from his torn Achilles after 3 months off.
He walked into the stadium tonight with no crutches.
He's looking good.
He's throwing 50 yards.
He does look good.
When he comes back in week 13, the NFL is going to burn.
Yep. Yeah. Pretty much.
It's okay because I already know that Jamie's taking the Jets. I can just tell.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I meant the Chargers. He's going to take the Chargers.
Well, actually,
no.
I'm going with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Austin Eckler is going to be forced to have his first big game of the year since week one, where he had around 32 points.
He had 20 points last week.
Yeah, see? It's on the up and up for Austin Eckler. The Jets' defense is extremely good against elite quarterbacks. We've seen what they've done with Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. They know how to shut him down, and I think the same is going to happen to Justin Herbert, which is why they're going to need to rely on their running backs, and that will be Austin Eckler this week. I believe Eckler will go for 16 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. Chargers win 21-16 in a solid little game, but I'm going to take the Chargers in this one, upsetting the Jets a little bit in New York. Should be a fun little game.
Chargers upsetting the Jets is never a sentence I thought.
Well, as of right now, that
with
is
Zach Wilson at quarterback.
Zach Wilson has the same record as the 49ers this year, the Avengers, and so that sucks to say. But we're going to move on to our waiver wire pickups of the week. We have some very solid options. Jake, let's get it started.
Really? You really think we
really
have some
solid options?
I think we have some solid options. Better than, like, what, 3 weeks ago where we were picking kickers?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, there was a week where Jake shouted out, like, Matt Gay.
Okay.
Was a waiver wire pickup of the week.
Kicker one was on the waiver, and I needed to
He's still kicker three. If he's on your waiver, go get him.
Yep.
He's on my column.
My waiver wire pickup for this week is, like, a backup tight end kind of play. Lincoln mentioned him earlier, and it's Kate Otten. He's only rostered at 7.8% of ESPN fantasy leagues, that is. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you should pick up Cade Naughton and he can be your tight end one for the rest of the year, because that I would sit here and be lying to you. But he had 23 this week, very strong performance. Baker seems to be targeting him more often instead of two really solid receivers. I don't know why. I don't have that answer for you.
The Baker Mayfield effect.
But he had 23 this week. He had 8.7 last week and 9.3 in the week before that. So they're not great numbers, but it's right around 10, and I would take that from a backup tight end, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I agree.
I've got a couple guys here. The first two I want to mention I'm not going to get into too much because I talked about them last week. That's DeMario Douglas in New England and Khalil Shakir in Buffalo if you're in a deeper league. Obviously, if you're in a 10 or 12, Khalil Shakir is not going to be useful to you. But in the 16-man league I'm in, he's very useful to me. So DeMario Douglas, he is now the leading receiver. He's now officially the wide receiver one in New England with Kendrick Bourne done for the year. 7 targets again this week, 5 catches, 55 yards. Not bad numbers. I would expect him to continue to get that. He's a very explosive player, so I would expect him to be on the up and up here. And then you've got Khalil Shakir, who had 4 targets this week. He had 6 last week and 4 the week before, so he's getting stable involvement in that offense now. He caught all 4 of his targets. He's caught every target he's had in the last 3 weeks. He had 9.7 fantasy points last night against Cincinnati. And so if you're in a deep league, he's a good target. And then, but my waiver wire pickup of the week is... it's Taysom Hill. Ugh. This is... I cannot believe that I'm saying this, but Taysom Hill is a must-start tight end one.
Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill is a must-start tight end one in fantasy.
I still can't believe he's listed as a tight...
Yeah, he had 4 catches again this week. on 5 targets, 13 yards and a touchdown. Then he carried the ball 11 times for 52 yards, and he also threw the ball once or twice because he has 20.62 fantasy points on here. But because he's listed as a tight end, I literally cannot check his. Oh, yeah, he had one completion for 3 yards and a passing touchdown as well.
That's crazy.
So he had a touchdown on the ground, or he had a touchdown in the air and a touchdown throwing the ball into the air. So Taysom Hill, north of 10 points in each of the last 4 weeks, north of 20 in the last two. Taysom Hill on your waiver wire, go get him, I guess. Start him.
Well. I think his position in fantasy should be flex. Like
You have
to put him in the flex, and there's no other option.
I kind of like that, actually. Just make him a flex. He's you click on flex, and the only guy that shows up is Taysom Hill.
All right, moving on to my waiver wire pickups. I want to shout out two guys. I'm going to start with what might be the best nickname in the NFL, the Pastronaut, Joshua Dobbs.
That's his nickname?
Yes, because he's an astronaut. He has, like, a degree.
He has an astronaut license?
Yeah.
A degree in astronaut.
No. Like, no, you know what I mean. Whatever the, like, astrophysicism. I don't know.
Terminology.
Yeah, whatever.
This is
Joshua
a fantasy
Dobbs.
Football live show. Don't.
Yep.
That's probably how he's so smart and is able to learn a playbook in 3 hours.
Exactly, and that's why Joshua Dobbs is my waiver wire pickup of the week. He's the QB12 currently, and after just 2 days of practice with the Minnesota Vikings after being traded there from the Arizona Cardinals, he had 24.92 fantasy points, which is incredible, throwing 20 of 30, 158 yards, passing, 2 touchdowns, 66 rushing yards, a rushing touchdown, and he also had a 2-point conversion. So Josh Dobbs went nuclear this week in just 2 days. So I think Dobbs will be a good pickup, especially if Justin Jefferson feels like coming back, because I feel like he's going to see this performance from Dobbs, and it'll make him want to come back and play with the Pastronaut himself. So go pick up Dobbs, only rostered in 9.8% of leagues as of right now. I think that's a good pickup. I also want to shout out Quentin Johnston for the Los Angeles Chargers wide receiver. No Josh Palmer. He has been injured. Johnston's the wide receiver 108. So,
wow.
Yeah, not great. But Johnston, he already has a target in today's game. So 45 seconds in, we like to see the volume. But he could be a good pickup with Palmer out. Palmer gets a lot of volume from Justin Herbert as a wide receiver too. So that could go to QJ. It could also go to Jalen Guyton, who is playing his first game of the year for the Chargers. He's starting today. He tore his ACL last year. He's their deep threat in Los Angeles. And I think either one of Guyton or Quentin Johnston could be a good pick in deeper leagues. And that's all we have for the waiver wire pickups of the week. We're going to be right back after a short intermission for our Week 10 must-starts. See you soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa Student Section Fantasy Sports. We're going to jump right in with our must starts for Week 10 of the NFL season. Let's start with Jake.
All right. I got two must starts this week. The one is a little bit of a risk, but I'm willing to take it. Watching the Cardinals play last week, it was not good at their quarterback situation. And that's why today they named Kyler Murray as their starting quarterback for next week, and they're playing the Atlanta Falcons defense, who's looked pretty par
mid
all season long. So I'm going to say Kyler Murray is a must-start this week in fantasy. I know he's been there for a while. He's been in the system, so I think he'll play good enough for fantasy, and with the ability of him to run with those legs, he's going to score fantasy points, and I think he's a must-start.
I'm just glad that I can finally stop starting Tyson Bagent and Taylor Heineke in the 16-man league.
About time.
It's like, finally. My first must-start of the week is a guy who has had a very, very rough season so far in Cincinnati. But Ja'Marr Chase went down, he stayed in the game, but he was clearly not the same player after he injured his back last night, and he did not seem very optimistic about it post-game in his interview. And T. Higgins had 19 fantasy points last night, 8 catches for 110 yards, and next week he gets the Houston Texans, who just allowed Cade Otton to have 70 yards and 2 touchdowns on them. And Rashad White had a lot of work through the air as well. I would expect T. Higgins to be a busy, busy man, especially if Ja'Marr Chase is out or limited. Get him in your lineup. It's about time that you can comfortably start T. Higgins, and you can this week.
All right, moving on to my first must start of the week. I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's catching passes from the Mayonnaise Marauder himself, Will Levis.
That was the hold on.
Mayonnaise Marauder.
That was the craziest nickname I've ever heard someone give out before.
I just made that up about 10 seconds ago.
That's going to be the title of the episode.
Yeah, talking about the Mayonnaise Marauder, Will Levis. But no, we're talking about D-Hop here versus the Bucs. Hopkins this week didn't really have that great of a game. He had a good game 2 weeks ago when Levis first started. This week, only 10.5 points on four catches for 60 yards, but he did see 11 targets, so the volume is there. We're just waiting on the receptions. This week, he gets Tampa, who is 31st in the NFL against the wide receivers, so it's not looking good for Tampa, and it's looking really good for DeAndre Hopkins. So we're hoping for that bounce-back week for D-Hop because he's looking on his game ever since the Mayo Man himself came into the lineup.
Mayonnaise Marauder.
That kind of sounds like a Fortnite skin.
It's going to be the name of my burner Twitter account.
Yeah.
My second must start is a wide receiver over, talking about Tampa Bay, wide receiver one over in Tampa Bay, Mike Evans.
Wow.
He's going up against that Titans secondary that has looked shaky, and Mike Evans did not have a great, not a great week this week, really.
No.
And the week before, he got saved by a last drive touchdown. So I think Mike Evans finds himself again. Baker Mayfield will find him, and I think he's going to have a big week.
My second must start this week is, it's actually terrifying for me to name him a must start because he's been probably the most frustrating player in fantasy this year, but it's Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
He gets the Arizona Cardinals in week 10, and the Cardinals' rush defense is very, very bad. Gus Edwards and Keaton Mitchell, they didn't play. Who'd they play last week, the Cardinals?
The Browns.
The Cardinals just faced the Browns.
I don't remember. I know Kareem Hunt had a touchdown because I had him in one league, but the rush defense, the general idea here is that it's not good. And Bijan, although he's not getting a lot of work, I would with Kyler Murray back, I don't know right now anymore if I would expect Atlanta to be winning this game by a ton. But if they want to win, they're going to have to get Bijan the ball because that rush defense is the main weakness in that Arizona defense. So I would definitely, definitely start him this week, despite the fact that he's been extremely disappointing for the past 3 weeks outside of one, 12-point performance, and he's been very mid since week two is the last time that he scored over 20 fantasy points, and week four is the last time he scored over 15. So put him in your lineup and hope for the best, in my opinion.
My next must start is somebody who has also been extremely mid and frustrating for fantasy owners. He's been a little above mid. I would say he's been solid, but it's Chris Olave for the New Orleans Saints wide receiver, second-year man. He gets the Minnesota Vikings this week, who are the 23rd-ranked defense against the wide receiver. So Olave, it's looking up for him. He had 16.6 points this week on 8 targets, 6 receptions, 46 yards, and his second touchdown of his season. The touchdown had put a lot of hope in me and a lot of hope in a lot of Chris Olave owners. It was against Chicago, which definitely is not the best defense in the NFL, but he gets an even worse one against Minnesota next week. So he's going to be my must start. I also want to shout out Sam Howell because he leads the NFL in pass attempts in the last 4 or 5 weeks. So he gets the Seattle Seahawks this week, who just got toasted by the Baltimore Ravens. So Sam Howell, he might get 51 attempts again, and he might rack up a bunch of yards. But that's all I have for the must starts. Let's move on to our must sits for week 10 of the NFL season. Jake, let's go.
All right, my two must sits. I got a running back and a tight end. I'm just going to do them together. My first must sit is Kareem Hunt. I know there's been a lot of hype around Hunt with the Jerome Ford's lingering injury and his lack of production, and Hunt's clearly RB1 in Cleveland, many would say. But I just saw what the Ravens did to Kenneth Walker this last week, and I don't see Kareem Hunt doing much in Baltimore on the ground in the receiving game. So I think you have to sit him this week. And my second must sit is Kyle Pitts. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say that because he's had the last couple of weeks he's been doing well. They did just bench their starting quarterback. Taylor Heineke's at the helm now. And I watched Jonnu Smith score a 60-yard touchdown yesterday. And it wasn't the guy they took, fourth overall?
Yeah.
I didn't even know Jonnu Smith could run for 60 yards.
That's what I'm saying. I couldn't believe I saw a tight end that wasn't Kyle Pitts in Atlanta score a 60-yard touchdown. So I think you sit him this week.
I agree.
I'll go ahead and do two right back-to-back as well. My first one is going to be Zay Flowers in Baltimore. The last 2 weeks, he's had under 8 fantasy points, 6.9 against Arizona, and then 2.1 against Seattle, and he gets the vaunted Cleveland defense this week, or this coming week in Week 10. He was outproduced by both Rashad Bateman and Odell Beckham Jr. this week, on top of, obviously, Mark Andrews. He just wasn't able to create separation, and the Ravens obviously blew Seattle out. This game, I wouldn't expect the Ravens to blow out Cleveland, but I would expect it to be a very, very low-scoring affair between two of the league's, probably the two best defenses in the NFL, barring like maybe the Jets in there as well. But, yeah, I would expect it to be a very low-scoring affair, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of work to go around with these two defenses allowing as little yards as they do. So if you've got Zay Flowers, I'd put him on your bench this week. Second one, and this is something I never thought I'd say, but it's Devontae Adams. My oh my has
that's
he been
crazy.
My oh my, I mean, has he been bad.
I completely
bad.
Agree, but oh my God.
Devontae Adams has not scored over 15 fantasy points since week 4.
Oh man.
That is, he scored 15 in that week. He's scored over 10 points just once in the previous 5 weeks. He's had over 7 targets just once in the previous 5 weeks. And he's had over 50 yards just once in the previous 5 weeks. And he has not scored a touchdown in that time frame either. In a game where the Raiders played very well against New York, he was largely invisible. They obviously blew out the Giants, but this new offense as well doesn't look like it's going to be very, very friendly to wide receivers with Aiden O'Connell at the helm and their new head coach loving running the ball. He was very vocal about that in his opening press conference. They're going to be a ground and pound team, and they did that on Sunday, and I was expecting that to continue. And on top of that, he's matched up one-on-one with Sauce Gardner-Island in Week 10.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have Devontae Adams, sit him.
I'm going to go on the opposite spectrum of that because I'm going with a Jets wide receiver, and that's Garrett Wilson versus the Raiders. Garrett Wilson has been extremely underwhelming this year. He's the wide receiver 31. He has not scored more than 17.6 points this year, and that was last week against the Giants. He had 17 against Philly, who was the worst rated defense against wide receivers, which is pretty crazy to say. But Wilson just hasn't been it with Zach Wilson at the helm. You hate to see it because he's one of the most talented young receivers in the league, but he gets the Raiders, who look extremely rejuvenated with their interim head coach. Max Crosby is hunting down quarterbacks like nobody's business. That secondary is extremely underrated. They're sixth in the NFL against wide receivers, so it's not looking good for Garrett Wilson whatsoever next week against the rejuvenated Raiders defense. My next must-sit is Rashad White versus the Tennessee Titans. He had a very, very solid week this week, 27.9 points on 20 attempts, 2 touchdowns, 4 receptions through the air on 4 targets. This was by far his best performance of the year. He had 21 in Week 2, but other than that, just nothing spectacular popping out. This week against Tennessee, who, in my opinion, their defense is still stout without Kevin Byard. He's more of a pass guy anyway. But they have Jeffrey Simmons. He's a machine, one of the best rush defenders in the NFL. So I'm going to sit Rashad White this week just because he had his big game. He's on a little streak, but I think he comes to an end at the hands of the Tennessee Titans. Now let's move on to our Panic or Pause, our favorite segment, the Panic or Pause. Jake, let's get it started.
This is going to cause a lot of chaos, and I want you guys to stay calm, okay? My Panic or Pause this week, or not this week, but right now moving forward to the rest of the year, is Tyreek Hill.
Stop.
Whoa, stop. I'm freaking out right now.
What are we doing here?
I'm about to pass out.
What are we doing?
Now listen, just let me talk, okay?
Whoa.
Pause.
So, yes.
I'm going to cry.
This is the downfall of the show right here.
I'm sorry. No, it is not. This is the
I'll hear you out.
We're moving up and up in the show. Anyway, so Tyreek Hill had his lowest week this week, I believe, with 12.7 fantasy points. And I saw something that I almost agree with. Now, Tyreek Hill has had such an insane year, right, so far. 20-plus points almost every single week, couple 40-point weeks. Is he going to be able to keep doing that, especially now that we see the Dolphins in a fraudulent state when they cannot beat good teams? I understand he is the best player on the field when that Dolphins offense is on the field, but could you – I guess it's a – that's why I said to hold on for the panic or pause, but, like, could you sell Tyreek Hill extremely high right now for an absurd amount of value where it could benefit you moving into the rest of the fantasy season?
I think you definitely could. The Miami Dolphins haven't beat a team over 500 in over 400 days. It has been a very, very long time. They've faced some good teams, and they've lost to all those good teams. Tyreek Hill just didn't get it done against his old team in Kansas City. You hate to see it. They shut him down. I think right now is Tyreek Hill's highest buying point. If you want to sell him off and get some return value, you absolutely can. Look at some guys with great playoff schedules. I think if you want to move Tyreek, it's 100% viable. I think it's a possibility. So, I mean, I guess I'm not sure what kind of button I'm pressing here, but I'm saying if you can get your trade value out of Tyreek Hill.
I mean, it's obviously a pause. You're not going to panic on Tyreek Hill, but now
that's fair.
I get where you're going with it.
It's a good point.
Panic, but I wanted.
Yeah, I get where you're going with it. His playoff schedule, it is worth noting, is the Jets, the Cowboys, and the Ravens.
Exactly.
That might
all
be the worst playoff schedule in fantasy football.
All teams that the Ravens and Cowboys are both going to be over 500.
And the Jets have the best cornerback, second best cornerback in the league. Sorry, Pat Surtain.
One of the top secondaries in the league.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I'm saying. Like,
but it's Tyreek Hill.
That's what,
yeah.
Okay. Like, I mean, against Philly. I mean, okay, their secondary is bad, actually, this year. So that's
terrible.
Not a good comparison. But
it's the worst in the NFL.
The reason I bring this up is because I had
I'm actually looking at this. He doesn't have a good game against a good secondary.
I got a text about a trade offer for Tyreek Hill, and he wanted to give me Devontae Smith and Stephon Diggs for Tyreek Hill.
Mm.
And at first, I saw Tyreek Hill, and I said, absolutely not. And then I was like,
unless you're – okay, I'll say unless your team desperately needs another running back or another receiver to compete, there's no reason to move him. I mean, you're looking at a guy who, outside of this – prior to his 12.5 this week, which, by the way, was his second worst week of the season, he had four straight games over 25 fantasy points, and one of them was over 30.
Mm-hmm.
He's been absolutely unbelievable all season. He is the leading fantasy scorer amongst all players. That's every position. He's right now the fantasy MVP. Obviously, the playoff schedule we just mentioned is a little rough. But unless you really, really need – you got, like, some glaring holes on your team that are holding you back, I wouldn't even think about moving Tyreek Hill, to be honest.
And I won't, because the league that I have Tyreek Hill, I'm sitting at 5-3.
Yeah, you're
there's
fine.
There's no need to do it. But I just
with
wanted
that playoff
to throw
schedule,
a little
though.
I wanted to throw a little road bump in and see what everybody
I
wanted.
Said no at first, but, I mean, it's like, you could think about it.
Yeah.
That's
I wouldn't do it.
The sole reason I looked at it is because I looked at his playoff schedule and I said, holy cow.
It's awful.
He's got to go against Sauce Gardner, Marlon Humphrey, and a good Cowboys defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's Stephon Gilmore, Sauce Gardner, and Marlon Humphrey. Like, that's not ideal.
Not good.
All right, enough of the fun.
Oh, and if you go into Week 18, he plays Buffalo, too. So
yeah.
If you go all the way there, which your league should never go into Week 18, for the record. But if you do go there, he gets Buffalo, which isn't much better. So
nope.
My panic or pause this week, I mentioned him earlier. I'm going to start off with Bijan Robinson.
Oh, boy. I knew that name was going to come up this week, and oh my.
Ben, he's basically the poster child of panic or pause right now. He's had under 10 fantasy points in two of the last 3 weeks, and like I mentioned earlier, he's only scored over 15 once since week two. So what do you guys think about Bijan Robinson? They're just not using him.
It is very hard to say this, but it's not a massive panic, but I'm going to say panic on Bijan Robinson just because I don't know what Arthur Smith is really doing with that team. I mean, the benching of Desmond Ridder after, in my opinion, was playing the best NFL football he was for like 2 weeks there. Drake London looked great.
He did have like
good.
16 turnovers.
He did.
Literally.
Through like eight games.
And the reason I say best football is because he's horrible and
yeah.
The best football from Desmond Ridder isn't great. But they use Algier. They use Patterson.
Yep.
And looking, I have a schedule pulled up here. I mean, he has Arizona next week at Arizona. So that's, I mean, I think someone had him in his must start.
I did.
Yeah.
And the playoff schedule is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's Carolina, Indy, and Chicago.
But then you got the Saints twice if you go into week 18, which you shouldn't. You got the Jets front seven in New York, which is, I mean, arguably very good.
You got
Tampa Bay's front seven, who's also pretty
good.
They're
not bad.
And then the Panthers and the Colts and Chicago, which is horrible. So I think if you're I'm going to go to what you said about Tyreek Hill. If you are desperate and you can have him at a high buy, if anybody still wants to buy him
high, if you can find somebody in your league,
I would absolutely do it. But if you think you can make the playoff in your fantasy league with Bijan Robinson not being elite RB1, keep him.
Yeah,
because as soon as the playoffs come around, all you have to do is make the playoffs and anything can happen. And if your RB1 gets to play Carolina, Indianapolis, and Chicago, that's asking for 20 points plus in all three of those weeks.
Yeah, it's kind of just like if you can find somebody in your league, though, who's like I know, like there's a couple guys that I know who, like, if they loved him coming out of the draft and they can't get past like how good of a player he is, as opposed to his actual fantasy value, and they're willing to overpay for him, I'd do that in a heartbeat. If you're, like, I mean, if you've been starting Bijan Robinson all year, you might not be looking at a locked-in playoff spot. But, yeah.
That is very true.
Yeah, I'm going to pause on Bijan Robinson. Just because of that playoff schedule, it's incredible. He gets the 31, 28, and 27th ranked defenses. I mean, come on.
Oh, my
God. He had a great first 2 weeks, 20 and 21 points against two more very bad defenses. But, I mean, since week four, it's really been a downward spiral. He does get Arizona this week. He has a couple more good matchups against the Jets, a couple other teams. So I'm going to hold on Bijan Robinson. It does scare me a little that Tyler Allgeier and Cordarrelle Patterson are getting as involved as they are. But he's a rookie sensation. You got to hold on to him. One thing that does scare me, though, is he fumbled and lost it this week in a loss against the Minnesota Vikings. So hopefully that doesn't hinder his playing time. You'd hate to see it. But, I mean, anything could happen in the NFL, especially with Arthur Smith.
What did that guy do to Arthur Smith?
Yeah, I have no idea. Arthur Smith just doesn't like playing stars.
The most exciting game in Atlanta for the rest of the year is not a Falcons game, but it's the SEC championship, no matter whoever that is.
Alabama. Bama's winning the SEC championship, but that's not for today. My next panic or pause, I'm going to go to Brian Robinson Jr.
Mm.
So he had a decent week this week. He did find the end zone.
He did find the end zone.
He did find the end zone, but other than that, his yards per carry was not good. He did lose a fumble. Is it scary hours for Brian Robinson Jr., the Alabama guy?
I think when it comes down to it, I think it goes into the situation again. I think, like we talked about earlier with situations like Bijan and can you make the playoffs, I think it depends on how valuable Brian Robinson is to your team. If he's your RB2 like every single week, I would panic because he's not putting up RB2 numbers. But if he's sitting in your flex in a larger league like 10-man, 12-man, especially 12-man, I would definitely pause. I mean, this week he had 18 carries, so he's getting the rock.
But only 11 points after finding the end zone.
The bigger issue is that he doesn't catch the ball.
Issue in PPR leagues. But he had 11.7, 9.9, 8.3, 13.6 in the last 4 weeks. I know the 8.3 and the 9.9 don't sound amazing, but in a flex spot, in a 10-man, in a double flex spot, if you have like two flex spots in a 10-man league, that's still pretty valuable. If he's your flex in a 12-man league, absolutely. But if he's your RB2, which I have seen in a lot of leagues, he's someone's true RB2 with no buys, I'd be a little worried about Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
Most of the times I look at those teams, their record's not the hottest. Brian Robinson, playoff schedule, brutal. Rams, Jets, Niners.
Yep.
Not fun.
And the Cowboys in week 18.
Two of them are on the road, and the one that is at home is against San Francisco, so it does not matter.
And he has to play Dallas again in once before in week 12.
And he's got to play Miami in there week 13, and I know, Miami is playing. The Commanders are bad, so Miami will play good that week.
Yeah. The biggest issue I have with B-Rob isn't like, I mean, the production isn't great. It's very meh. But the Commanders are bad, and they're going to be losing a lot of games. And if they're losing a game, they're not going to give it to the guy that doesn't catch passes out of the backfield when they need to score super fast. Now, if they get inside the 5-yard line, they might hand it off to him, but you're banking on a touchdown there. And at that point, like, there's a million other touchdown-dependent running backs you could start that are going to get maybe a little bit of pass-catching work. I'd panic on him, especially if you're relying on him. If you're relying on him, you're in like disaster mode at this
point.
Yeah.
Not in a good situation.
Yeah, I'm panicking on Brian Robinson as well. He has not scored more than 14 points this year, and the only time he did was against Denver, which doesn't count.
Yeah, first 4 weeks, two. Denver Broncos rush defense was not a real thing.
It doesn't count.
That was
happen.
Extremely brutal. Like, yeah. That was more than just a shot. Like, Jamie...
it was that a
just,
cannonball.
The first 4 weeks of the Broncos rush defense just did not happen. I've wiped that from my memory.
But, I mean, he found Pater this week, 18 carries, but only got 11.7 points. It's just not looking good for Brian Robinson. Not a great playoff schedule. If you go to 18 weeks, he has Dallas, which is top 10 against the running backs. I don't like Brian Robinson one bit. Fantasy-wise, I love the guy. He's a Bama native. But Brian Robinson, I'm hitting a pretty big panic button right now. So let's move on to our next one, Jake. Or Lincoln, do you have another one?
Yeah, I've got Cooper Kupp.
Ooh.
In Los Angeles. Under six fantasy points in each of the last 3 weeks, he has. And I mean, granted, that's while getting 7, 10, and 7 targets in those 3 weeks. This week against Green Bay, he had 2 catches for 48 yards. And it's been much of the same for the last 3 weeks. He gets a bye this week, and I don't know how long that Matthew Stafford injury is going to last. But what do you guys think?
I think I'm going to hold off on Cooper Kupp. I'm gonna pause. He's still one of the most dynamic wide receivers in the NFL. He might be the smartest wide receiver in the NFL. Just a real gritty guy. I love what he does on the field. Puka Nacua.
I love when we use the word grit. Or gritty.
Yeah.
It's a real, like,
real grit.
It defines a great player in the
NFL.
Yeah,
first one in, last one out type of guy. love what Cooper Kupp brings to the field. Sneaky athletic, but... I mean, he was a 2021 Triple Crown receiver for a reason. I think Matt Stafford's still going to force him 20 targets a game at some point, even with Puka Nacua playing the way he is, who he hasn't really been phenomenal
Another
the last few weeks
athletic.
Either. Yeah,
first
sneaky
guy.
Athletic. Yeah, first guy and last guy out, taking it from Cooper Kupp. I'm going to pause on Cooper Kupp, though. We'll chill out for now.
I'm going to take the other route. I'm going to panic.
Whoa.
I don't trust Stafford. Like, if Stafford is not their quarterback, Cooper Kupp will not be getting the ball. It's as simple as that. The last 3 weeks, he scored less than 7 points. He's got a bye this weekend, and he's got to go against Seattle, a division opponent, with a great secondary. Arizona, he'll probably play good. Unless – that's the other thing. If they're not playing somebody good, it's either a Cooper Kupp game or a Puka Nacua game. They're both not going to put up numbers. They haven't done it. They might have done it once this year. I think they had a week where they both had 20.
It was Arizona.
But other than that, like, I think it's one or the other, and why take the risk on Kupp when it's a bad team? And then they have to play Cleveland, who's a great defense, Baltimore at Baltimore, who has a great defense and a great CB1. Washington, not a great defense, but they have a good rookie corner. I don't trust them against Cooper Kupp. And then the Saints in week 16.
Now, if you can get to your title game and you get him against the New York Giants, then
absolutely.
I'd be giddy.
If you can
that.
Get Cooper, if you know you are 100% making it to your fantasy championship, which if you believe that right now, I'm sorry, you don't know no fantasy
You're
football.
Probably delusional.
Keep him, but as of right now, I do not trust Cooper Kupp, and when I'm playing against him, I'm like, this is awesome. I get to play against Cooper Kupp this week, and he's someone's wide receiver one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what I've written it down as a pause. I'm going to stay on pause, but the issue for me, it isn't Cooper Kupp as a receiver. It isn't the targets. He's still getting them. It's Matthew Stafford's injury.
It's the quarterback.
I don't know what is wrong with Matthew Stafford, but he's had a couple injuries like this in the past. He had one last year. Cooper Kupp was out for it, but he had one last year where he had pitcher's elbow. This time it's a UCL in his thumb. Which is not conducive to throwing the football very well. And he sat out this week. The Rams are bad. They're not competing for a playoff spot. Sean McVay is on fraud watch. It doesn't even
wow. –
it barely looks like he's trying out there. He's already said that he wants to retire early. Like, I don't know if I trust the Rams in general at all right now. But at the same time, it's Cooper Kupp. And if Matthew Stafford is in the game, you're going 8 to 10 targets. So that's about it. I would pause on him for now, but a little bit of worry there.
Yeah, most definitely. But that's all we have for you guys this week. Thank you all for tuning in to WVUA 90.7 FM Tuscaloosa and Student Section Fantasy Sports Show. We'll see you all next Monday night. Peace.